St. Paul writes to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Welcome to the fifth in this series of Bible studies on the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's begin just by touching briefly on the ground that we've already covered, saying that the fruit of the Spirit is, it's singular, not plural. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, but one single fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit himself, actually. It's like we've received in ourselves this diamond with many facets, each one cut by the Holy Spirit, each one a facet of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And this diamond's been cut with the chiseling tools of the Word and the sacraments. So in this study, we're going to turn the diamond to focus on that facet of the work of the Holy Spirit in us to produce in us patience. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in the believer. And I think that it is pretty timely for us to consider this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit that is patience. So what do you ask for when you pray, Lord, give me patience? What do you mean when you strive to be patient? What do you mean when you lose your patience? There's a ton of advice, lots of books, lots of skilled people that want to help us be more patient than we are. But as we explore patience as a facet of the Holy Spirit, we do best to turn to the Holy Spirit himself and listen to what he has to say to us. And since we believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his holy word, that is the Holy Scriptures, that's where we're going to go, and that's where we're going to receive our learning and our instruction about patience. And we also believe that it is as we listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us through his holy word about this topic of patience, that the same Holy Spirit actually works in us, that he actually makes us more patient. So let's start with the word itself. It's an interesting word in the Greek of the New Testament. It's makrothumia. Makrothumia. It's a compound word. Makro means long. And thumia means anger or rage. And so literally, it's makro long thumia, anger. Long to anger. Or long to get angry. Or we would say, long before you reach the boiling point. Or long before you lose your cool. So one of the elements that we see that is always involved when it comes to patience is that there's always something present for us to be angry about. Some wrong, some injustice, some unpleasant circumstance, some disappointment, some you fill in the blank, some disease that has caused a pandemic and now a lot of the freedoms that we've enjoyed for so long have been set aside. Something that has the potential to cause us anger or anger in us. But because of patience, it simply does not do this. So a good definition of patience might be the quality of being willing to bear adversities, calm endurance in the face of misfortune and suffering, and so forth. And so we see that patience is always connected directly to adversities and misfortune, sufferings, and the like. It's interesting how we use this word without without really thinking much about this connection to adversity. Someone who's under medical care for an illness or injury or disease is a patient. A patient's not someone who is just waiting, like someone waiting for a bus or a check or a phone call, but someone who's in the midst of some kind of suffering or illness or adversity and is waiting for the treatment to take place and restore them to health. And we call that person the patient. She's got to exercise patience. The shining example of patience in the Old Testament, anyway, is Job. James refers to Job, 5th chapter, verse 10, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. So we talk about having the patience of Job. The important thing to be, I think, for us to be able to understand here is the connection that takes place between Job's faith and his patience. These two aspects, these two dimensions of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, faith and patience, they are really tied together, inseparably connected. Think about the patient in the hospital again. How much does his or her faith in the doctor, trust in that the doctor really knows what he's doing or she's doing, how much does that determine how much patience he or she has in putting up with, tolerating the pain and the suffering that the doctor's prescribing for the patient in order to obtain the cure? Apart from faith, I mean, what's the use of putting up with all of the pain and the anguish if you don't think, if you don't believe, if you don't trust that it's really going to work? Apart from faith, we lose our patience pretty quickly. But by faith, we're able to endure all kinds of suffering and pain patiently. With faith in the outcome, we can be long to anger. Or another word for patience is long suffering. We can suffer for a long time if we know the outcome is sure and certain. Apart from faith, or with a weak faith, we'll be, not sure this is the right word or if there really is a word like this, but we can be microthrumia, short to anger, quick to anger, short fused. And so it shouldn't be surprising to us that the vast majority of human examples of patience in the Bible are negative ones. And that's because our faith is lacking and it's a weak faith. A good example of this is Israel in the wilderness. As they follow the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, we read in Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 and 5, from Mount Hor, they set out by way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. So if we looked at this on a map, what we'd see is that this going around the land of Edom, that really makes the journey a lot longer. But the Lord knows the way that is best for his people. And faith would say, you know, my feet are aching and my back's killing me, but the Lord knows the way that I should go, and therefore I'll just trust in him and be patient. And based on faith, patience would say, and I'm not going to complain about it. But what do we read? And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up from the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Their faith in God and his care for them, and that he's leading them in the way that they should go, was pretty weak. And therefore, they were short-angered, hot-tempered, is the way that the Bible sometimes describes Israel. We can compare the impatience of Israel to the patience of God. I mean, who could have blamed God for destroying Israel right there in the desert because of their lack of faith and trust in him, which led to their lack of patience with him, which led to their complaining all the time? But God is absolutely certain that the way that he leads his people is the right way. It is righteous because he is righteous. God doesn't doubt himself. And so he is able to be patient with his people despite their impatience with him. He is slow to anger, a phrase that is used repeatedly through the Old Testament, and in every case but one is coupled together with his steadfast love. In Exodus 24, verses 5 through 7, we read that after breaking the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments inscribed on them in his fit of short anger, Moses goes back up to the Mount Sinai to receive the second set of tablets. But this time, before sending them back down the mountain, we read, "The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" God wants to remind Moses that as his servant, he is to reflect the very nature of God onto and to the people that he is sent to preach to and to represent God to. And to represent God means that he is going to be slow to anger, unlike the first trip down the mountain where he was quick to anger. This time, Moses, no matter what you see, be slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Nowhere is God's divine patience coupled with his steadfast love on display more clearly than in our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the pain and the suffering, both physical and emotional and mental, that he endured, and every speck of it, unjustly, unfairly. And never, never once do we see him becoming impatient or hot-tempered or complaining. He trusts his Father, who knows the way that his son must go. And so, unlike Israel of old, he goes the way that God has led him without complaint. As the great Paul Gerhardt hymn puts it, "A lamb goes uncomplaining forth." In the New Testament, St. Paul points to the patience of God in a very personal way in his letter to Timothy. Paul points to his own life as a persecutor of the Church of Christ, and he calls himself the foremost sinner. But then he continues, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." In other words, Paul says, "Look at me and the patience that the Lord has had for me until his Spirit worked true repentance and faith in me." Now, if he is this patient with me, the foremost sinner, well, then there's a real good reason to hope that he's going to be just as patient with you. Peter affirms what Paul says here, 1 Peter 3:15, "I count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote." Count the Lord's patience as salvation, says Peter. Because if God were not patient with you, everything would have been consumed by his anger with us long ago. But we fail and we fall over and over again, and our Lord patiently bears with us and lifts us up and forgives our sins until he comes again to bring all of the pain and the suffering to an end. And so if his coming seems slow, we are to wait for it. For the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so therefore, let us count the patience of our Lord as salvation. James urges the people of God to patience based on faith in the Lord's sure and certain promise. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the latter rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. This patience in waiting for the Lord's coming to bring us home, I think, is best applied to our frustration and our anger with what we could call maybe the world at large. We see injustice and poverty and abuse and disease and war and addiction and suffering and pain and corruption and coronavirus all around us. And we wonder, when, Lord? How long? And to this, James says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. But I think there's also a clear calling for every individual believer to be patient with what we could call maybe the neighbor near us. That individual person or couple or people or community of people who's close to us. The knowledge and recognition and gratefulness for our Lord's patience with us not only moves us, but demands that we also are to be patient with others. So Paul admonishes the Ephesians, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Later in the same chapter, Paul will quote Psalm 4, verse 5, and he tells the congregation, be angry and do not sin. That's just a quote of Psalm 4, verse 5, that he uses here in Ephesians 4, 26. Both Paul and the psalmist are in perfect agreement that we will indeed feel the anger that arises whenever and with whatever the suffering comes on us, especially the suffering that we did nothing to cause and that is undeserved and unfair. This is what is so wonderful about the Scriptures, I think. There's no thought of denying the fact that there are these things in this world, and lots of them, that will make us angry. In fact, if they don't make you angry, then there's probably something wrong inside of you. So rather than denying that we're angry or being ashamed of it, we acknowledge it, while at the same time managing it with the patience that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. So what are we to do with our anger? Well, by faith, we are told that God is at work in all things and working all things for good in the lives of those who love him. And all things includes even our suffering and the suffering that goes on in this world. Be angry and do not sin. That requires patience. Patience that trusts that God is going to work all of this for my good and that he'll get justice not only for me, but according to his own will for all. And I need only wait for the Lord. So the Spirit's fruit of patience is by no means, in no way, a call to ignorance or a call to overlook the wrong or to pretend that it just isn't there or that it doesn't really hurt. But patience is long to anger. Patience refuses to do what is wrong in order to overcome the wrong that has been done. Let me repeat that. Patience refuses to do what is wrong in order to overcome or to get even for the wrong that has been done. Take away patience, and what you're left with is vengeance and wrath and a lot of shouting and screaming. So maybe we can see how patience is sometimes misunderstood as apathy. If he really cared, he'd get more angry than he is and do something, defend himself, take revenge. He must not care. No, if in the face of suffering and pain, our own or someone else's, we don't care, then no patience is required. Patience is not required at all if there's nothing that causes anger or makes you upset or causes you pain, because there's no anger there to keep under control. Patience is an action then. Patience in the face of anger is the action of perseverance. It's what we heard James call steadfastness in the example of the prophets and Job. When faced with suffering or wrong, the faithful person responds not with indifference or apathy, but with patience. Patience is faith in action. And sometimes that action looks like we're doing nothing except waiting for the Lord, which is far from doing nothing. So someone with real patience is certainly angry at the evil and the wrong and the pain in the world, and in others, and in himself. But he is not controlled by that anger. With patience, he or she takes some time for the emotional heat to subside and the proper response to be made clear. And sometimes he simply waits for the slow wheels of God's justice to work, knowing that it most certainly will. Jesus once told a parable about a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his servants. It's recorded in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave his debt. So the servant, who owed his master more money than he could ever possibly repay, pleaded with his master for patience. "Have patience with me." And the master did, forgiving him all of his debt, a huge debt. That is the relationship that we have with God, because that is who God is. He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. But patience that we receive from God now obligates us to be patient with others. And that's where this story turns into a real tragedy. But when the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." Same words that the other fellow had already used with his master. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. The gift of the Holy Spirit is fundamentally faith in the Word and the work and the promise of Jesus Christ. And that gift of faith produces in us the precious, multifaceted diamond of, among other things, patience. Patience with God that waits for his coming. Patience with this world in which we live until God carries out his justice for all. Patience with our neighbor, forgiving and bearing with them as our Lord forgives and bears with us. patience with the circumstances of life that are unpleasant, sometimes quite painful, all trusting that our Lord is working all things for our good. Next, we'll explore the facet of the fruit of the Spirit called kindness.